Hi, this is Daniel Garb of the Movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. It's a few years back on the social networks, a new image appears, that of an older indigenous man posed with his fists raised as if for a fight. The meme catches people's eyes and goes viral, appearing everywhere, accompanied by disrespectful slogans. Then, in a complete turnaround, the meme is relaunched, this time accompanied by a puzzling indigenous expression, Skoden, and becomes a symbol of native power, humor, and identity, and a call to action. What is Skoden, and who is the man in the meme? Skoden is also the name of a new documentary about both internet memes and real people. It's a tribute to the late Pernell Badarm, the Blackfoot man depicted in the photo, by talking with his friends and relatives who remember him. Skoden is written, directed, and produced by award-winning documentary filmmaker Damien Eaglebear. From the Kainai First Nation of the Blackfoot Confederacy, Damien's films are known both for their playful irreverence and the crucial cultural points they cover. The doc was filmed in Alberta and on the Blood Reserve of the traditional Blackfoot territory. Skoden had its world premiere at Hot Docs, where it won the Earl A. Glick Emerging Canadian Filmmakers Award, and it's screening in Toronto at the Imaginative Film Fest on June 4th. And I'm very pleased to have here with me via Zoom from Penticton, BC, Damien Eaglebear to tell us more about Skoden. Hi, Damien.
Hi, Dale. Thanks for having me on today.
Thanks so much for meeting with me. Okay, let's go then. What does Skoden mean?
Yeah, Skoden means let's go then. And it's kind of funny seeing how popular it's become, because like growing up, to me at least, it was just always just kind of existed. It was just a word. It was nothing like popular or funny or something that drew everyone to it. Like, it's just part of like the slang that we develop on the reserve, right? There's a bunch of different terms and just way we play with the English language and make it our own. So it's quite interesting how this Skoden is just the whole thing within our social media circles online.
So when you say it developed on the reserve, is it geographically specific, or did it sort of spread nationally on a number of reserves before it reached this status?
I don't know. That'd be really hard for me to tell, because I think where I grew up, I only know that existence, right? So I don't really know what was happening in other communities. It was until social media took it on. And from my understanding, that the creation of the movement was located somewhere within southern Alberta. So it seems very much in that backyard, but I can't speak to whether it was present or had traveled to other reserves. Yeah.
So when did you first see the image that became a meme in its first incarnation?
Yeah, I first saw the meme back in 2000, like the first version of it, I actually never saw, like the one where like non-Indigenous people took it and kind of made jokes about Indigenous people with it. I never really saw that one, but when I saw the Indigenous version, the one that had Skoden written on it, for me, it, you know, I had a pretty negative reaction to it because I knew who he was. I worked at the Lethbridge Shelter Resource Center back in late 2000s. And so knowing him through that way, it did make me angry, because I knew what it would take to push him to that extent, to have that kind of visceral reaction to something that you can read through the image, right? So yeah, it made me angry. And that was back in 2000. 15, I believe. Yeah, and from there, the meme just got more popular. I talked to people about it, a lot of my friends and colleagues, they understood my feelings about it, but for them, they saw something in it.
So the subject of the film and also of the original meme is Pernell Badarm. Talk about the man himself, because the film is partly a tribute to him. And you knew him personally?
Yeah. So I knew Pernell from working at the Lethbridge shelter. And not only that, prior to working at the shelter, I also started my very early career, or like desire to be a filmmaker. I set out to make a documentary in partnership with the Lethbridge shelter about people who live on the streets in Lethbridge and the issues that are specific to Lethbridge. So I filmed for like, I don't know how many days and months, and gathered all sorts of different types of footage. But, you know, being a young filmmaker, I kind of thought just putting a camera down and recording people talking and cutting them together was all it took. You know, I didn't really understand the nuance and research and like care, and also like where a story, like where a nonfiction story goes. And so in that process, that's where I met Pernell. He was actually the first person that I interviewed in that. So it was quite extraordinary. I didn't really realize once I started how important those first few minutes of interviewing were going to be. And they become an important part of this film.
So describe Pernell. What sort of a guy was he?
Yeah, old Pernell, he was, you know, for me, he was kind of one of those people you were like kind of happy to see him, because he always had like some kind of silly story to tell you, or he would be ready to tease you. Like, he was a very kind-hearted person and very caring for others. Like, for me, one memory that really sticks out about him is one day when I was working at the shelter, I see he's like sitting in our area and he's looking out the window and he just shoots right up and he runs outside. And I'm like, oh no, what's going on? Why is he running outside? Is something happening out there? You know, I worked as a security guard, so you're kind of on edge and someone reacts quickly, you know. And so I go to check what's happening, and Pernell is actually helping this older indigenous man who's a war vet come down these stairs, because behind the shelter it's connected to an overpass in Lethbridge, so there's very long, hard metal steps coming down. And so Pernell had run out there, run up to this older indigenous man and just helped him down the stairs. And as soon as they got inside, he just started directing the shelter workers how to help the old man. He's like, oh, he needs rest, he needs his medication, he needs water, all of this. So he's just like immediately came in and was ordering us around. You know, I just kind of had a lot of admiration for him for that type of care he had for people.
But he's not the usual, like, hero or subject of a documentary. It's usually, like, someone who did some earth-shattering thing or great things. Why is it important to make a film about someone like this?
Yeah, for me, it's important to make a film about something like this, because it's humanizing, right? Because there are so many people like when you made the, you know, throughout the entire process of making the film, researching, filming, editing, but yeah, most where people they worked with in the film, they were always saying. Yes, Pernell's unique, but there's so many other people like him. There's so many other Pernells, so many other people on the streets like him. So this story is very much about Pernell, because those people I interviewed, we know Pernell and we have a special relationship with him. But he's also just representative of a much larger group out there of people. And so it felt important to honor him, and also in a way honor all these other people that are like so misunderstood in the streets and find their way through this. Slip through the system.
And briefly, if you could tell listeners who aren't aware, what is the situation of homeless indigenous people on the streets in Canadian cities?
in this. I mean, I did make the film, but, you know, part of the film is it is a timepiece. It does represent, like, the houseless situation in Lethbridge in the early, in the late 2000s, right?
Right.
So things have only gotten much worse, but it is hard. There's a lot of, you know, the system is made to, it's not really made to support people, right? Like, you talk to the people on the front lines who are doing this work day in, day out, and, you know, it has to be a system of care, and there's just so many ways that the system just continues to fail them, not actually look at the ways they actually need to help people. They tend to just put people in boxes, and if you don't fit in that box, it's like, well, we can't help you, right? Where it's like, you know, addictions are a lot more complicated.
No, I think it's a very serious issue that people are falling through the cracks, and we're not doing enough for them. But let's finally talk a little bit about you. I'm speaking with Damien Eaglebear about his new documentary, Skoden. But your bio describes you as, and I'm going to mispronounce it, but Nitsitapi, amateur physicist and fry bread eating machine. Can you make sense of that for me?
Yeah, no, for sure. It's, you know, you're having to write a bio about yourself. It's pretty hard. Especially as a filmmaker, like, I'm not the person who likes attention. Here I am. But for me, Nitsitapi is a Blackfoot word, just meaning the real people. So it's like a word for indigenous people, for Blackfoot people. And so that's what I am. And then amateur physicist, I'm a big nerd. And then fried bread eating machine, just means I really like meat. So that's pretty much me. I try to take the, you know, a bit of self-deprecation, all this work that I do.
Well, it's a interesting person who made a very interesting documentary. Thanks so much for talking with me.
Yeah, thank you.
Damien Eaglebear's feature documentary, Skoden, is playing at Imaginative Film Festival on June 4th at the TIFF Lightbox Theater, and he will be present at the screening. This is Daniel Garb of the Movies each Saturday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and my website, Cultural Mining.com.